Blog Talk Radio. Listeners, I'm sorry there was a technical problem over there. If you are listening to How Do You See It, welcome and happy Easter for those of you who have celebrated Easter yesterday. And yes, I said Easter. For Ethiopians, we celebrate Easter at a different time because we follow a different calendar from the Gregorian calendar. So that's something we're going to talk about on the next half of this show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And today, for the first half of this show, we're going to continue discussing about mindset. We're going to continue our interview with the expert, Omar Hamid, on changing humans' behavior. And from last week, to recap, we have learned that mindset is a lens that we use at an unconscious level to see the world, right? And the way we developed that mindset, according to Omar, was, as he said, when we feel some kind of emotion, but in a higher level, so highly emotional kind of things, we give meaning to that thing, which in return creates our belief system. So that's how we kind of develop our mindset. And according to him and a book that I mentioned on the show, called The Mindset, The New Psychology of Success by Carol. This is a very, very, very nice book, by the way. There are growth and fixed mindset types. So the biggest difference between those two types of mindset is whenever they came across a challenge, a fixed mindset people would tend to not fight back, not try to overcome that challenge. They don't want to find a way to solve that equation or whatever that difficult situation that they're in. They just want to move away and stay away from it and, you know, move along to the next thing that's around them. Whereas the growth mindset people would tend to accept that challenge, find a new way to solve it, and they are actually very excited about challenges that because they think that it's going to help them think in a different way so that they can find a solution, right? So that those are some of the things that we talked about. And he also mentioned that there is not only one way to develop a positive mindset, right? There are different ways. He has his own way and other people might have their own way. So he strictly said, we should not believe that this is not the only way. So it was a very interesting topic, and he's in a very, very great person. So we're going to continue listening to his interview, the last part of his interview. And after that, when we come back, we'll talk about Easter. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to How Do You See It? And please don't forget to write us at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at @howdoyou_see_it. Or if you want, you could call in at 929-477-1328. After this, we'll be right back. Well, listeners, you're listening to Omar Amir. We're discussing about mindset. Hope you're enjoying it. We are having fun here. So if you train someone to change their mindset, do they have to, is there any mechanism for them to keep up that way? Or once you change it, it's going to stay that way for the rest of their life? How does that part work?
So for most people, when we make the change, it creates a change and is permanent, but we can also give them tools to help them tune their mind to be more positive. And so just lots of positive reinforcement. I've got some training courses. They can just go to the library and get books on motivation, or like learning is such a powerful tool for us as human beings. If you can get like a hunger for learning, it creates an amazing life. And so I think reinforcing positive behavior is very important. But the change, remember I was talking about those eye tracking goggles?
Yes.
And some people say, once you change that belief, then people change the way they see the world. And sometimes they don't see the world like they used to. And so the change can be quick and it can be permanent and it is life changing.
If they tend to go to back to their way of seeing their life as they used to before, they have to consciously choose not to go that road, right?
That's right. And sometimes they have a relapse and they go back to the old way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the change never took place in the first place. And that all comes down to the person guiding them through the change, how good they are, and how they perform in what they're doing.
Yeah, I think as a human being, we cannot get used to something right away. At least even behaviors are supposed to take us, right, about 21 days to get it to ourselves, to incorporate our behavior, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So it might take a while. And as you said, with the perfect coach next to them, it's going to be a lot easier, I believe.
Absolutely. I think human beings can change on a very, very quickly. And what we need to do is provide them the tools to be able to do that.
Perfect. So today we're talking about mindset, but when we be more specific, we're going to talk about stronger mindset. So before we go ahead and do that, if you can share with us what having a strong mindset did for you, what changed for you?
So one's mindset can always be more positive, but a stronger mindset allows you to do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a mindset that isn't strong enough, the dreams that you dream, sometimes they're less than what they should be. Sometimes the dreams that you dream are more hopes because you know that it'll never happen. And you're just kind of daydreaming for a moment, but you're not really dreaming of what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the stronger the mindset you have, the bigger dreams that you can conjure up. Everybody's going to hit a brick wall in your pursuit of dreams or in life. When you have a stronger mindset, you have the ability to bounce back faster. So you have something tragic happen, and with a weak mindset, it's like, oh my God, why does this always happen to me? I'm going to take a break, and instead of making more calls, I'm going to go read a book for a moment, or I'll organize my desk. And it might take them a day or two to get back in the game, or longer. Someone with a strong mindset can brush it off very, very quickly and just bounce back. So your bounce back and your tenacity increases. With stronger the mindset, the more that increases.
So it helps you to just move on from your situation, whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect.
One, you can think about bigger situations. And two, you can think about ways of accomplish what you want to accomplish that are more powerful.
So is having a strong mindset important for a person's or organization's success?
I think so. Because if you're a leader and you have, let's say, I don't like actually calling it a stronger mindset or weaker mindset, but if you have a mindset that says, you know, hey, I'm in charge, I'm the boss. Every decision that happens through me. And all the successes that we have are my creation. And all the failures, of course, are the idiots that I lead. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have a weak mindset. They could be very strong in their convictions, but a mindset like that is like poisonous to an organization.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a mindset of, I am the servant leader, and I'm going to empower my people to go above and beyond where they need to go, the collective is more powerful than the single. So when we have a success, I'm going to make sure I reach out to Miriam and say, you know, Miriam was a crucial part of this. And that kind of mindset builds stronger organizations, stronger teams. And it creates a level of trust that allows people to create success faster and make it last more permanently.
Okay, yeah, that's good. So it's kind of necessary to have a positive mindset.
Positive. I think that's a much better characterization.
Yes.
A positive mindset versus one that might be more pessimistic.
Yes, true. So yeah, so it's very important for us to have that. We're listeners, hope you're enjoying and getting some very insightful information from this discussion we're having with Omar Hamid. So as a world's leading expert in changing human behavior of individuals and teams, I'm sure you have came across some very interesting and maybe humorous stories. We have heard some interesting stories earlier, but humorous stories as well. If you can share one or two, if you'd like to share one or two, and tell us what your coaching did for them, what changed, and
So you're saying humorous stories?
Yes.
So not too many humorous stories, actually.
Okay.
When people seek me out, it's very much, I've got a problem, and for a lot of people, that's not a laughing matter. But I use humor in my work with people because I think the universe has a sense of humor. And a lot of times we take the work that we do way too seriously, and especially when you come to mental health or therapeutic. And so I am very flippant in my remarks sometimes, and I make fun of the situation, never the person. And the reason I do that is I want people to lighten up. So one of the things that you can't see this, of course, but just imagine I'm holding a pen in my hand, in my fist, and I'm holding it really, really tightly. And you try and come and you grab that pen away from me. Miriam, in 100 years, you're not going to get this pen because I'm going to hold on like my life depends upon it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So my job as a change agent, your job as a leader of the people that you lead, is not to take the pen away from people. Your job and my job is to give them the possibility that something else might be, might happen. And what that allows them to do is to loosen their grip on the pen. And as soon as they loosen their grip on the pen, it allows them to change. Because a lot of times people go in, so I'll give you a good example. This woman brought her daughter in who was has a tough time with testing. And she fails a lot of tests, and she brings her in to see me, and the mother is sitting on one chair, the daughter, who's maybe 9, sitting in the other chair, and I'm sitting in my chair. Mm-hmm. And you know what the issue is. There's going to be a test tomorrow that's a really important test. It's the MSAs, the Maryland State Assessment. And so I go to the little girl, and I go, so you got a test tomorrow, huh? She goes, yeah. You're probably going to fail tomorrow, right? And the mother's like, what the hell? You shouldn't be saying that. You should be saying, you know, you are beautiful and you're strong and you're brave and you're wonderful and you're going to pass the test tomorrow and, you know, give her motivation.
Yeah.
But the reason I did that is because this little girl was holding on to that pen, that idea that I am going to fail. And if some adult comes up and says, no, you're smart, you're going to pass, you're beautiful, she knows that's BS. And the more she hears that, the tighter she's going to hold on to the pen or the idea that I'm going to fail. What are you talking about? I'm going to pass. That doesn't make any sense. So what I did was this. So I say that phrase. I say, you know, hey, you're probably going to fail tomorrow, right? And she looks up at me, and her shoulders relax a little bit because this is the first time someone's actually agreeing with her. Like, this is a problem. And then I have a pause, and then I say, well, unless, you know, we find a better way of doing it. And so what I did in that simple sentence was this. Is she's holding on to the idea like a death grip in her hand. Mm-hmm. And because I agree with her that you're probably going to fail, she loosens her grip. I pause, and then I just use the phrase, well is a softener. Mm-hmm. That means that what I'm about to tell you might not be true. Don't take it with too much, acceptance. Well, unless we find a different way, right? And as soon as I did that, it opened up the possibility for her to change. And then we moved on to creating change. And for her, this was the result. So a week before, her mother picked her up at school in a minivan. Mother pulls up at the side of the curb. The door on the side door opens. Her daughter gets in and sits down. Mother's looking in the rearview mirror at her daughter and goes, what's wrong? And the daughter went, I was in class today taking a test, and I just froze up. And the mother goes, oh, my God. And then she goes, wait a minute. For a year and a half, we've been hiring tutors because we've been told she's got a learning disability. What if it's not a learning disability? It's a testing issue. So anyway, she brings her daughter in, and I told you the story of what happened.
Yeah.
She came in to see me on Monday evening, and the next morning she had the test at school. So the mother drops her off at school. That afternoon, she picks up the daughter. Sliding door opens up. Daughter gets in, closes the door. Mother looks up in the rearview mirror, look at the kid. And the kid's like looking totally relaxed and kind of happy. And the mother goes, didn't you have a test today? And the daughter goes, yes. So that's how quick change happens, is that we can go in and we can create change. But the only way we can create change is if the person that's receiving it is open to it. And if we go in and say, you're broken, I'm going to fix you, it just causes the person to tighten up. And what we need to do is to use humor and other techniques to get the person to feel comfortable and relaxed and to know that if the change doesn't work, it doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means we need to try a different way. So humor is incredibly important, and it makes life worth living, and it makes my work a lot easier because when people are feeling relaxed and in a joyous mood, change happens much faster.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful story. So you do work with kids as well, that means?
I do, and more so in the past, but you know, if somebody is in need and they reach out to me, of course, it's what makes me happy is to help them out.
Perfect. And I believe you have a book on Amazon?
So we've got a couple of books. We've got one book, it's called Ideacution. It's two words, idea and execution. And this book is all about how to develop insanely creative ideas and then how to get your team to take a bullet for it. So it's like how to be a creative leader and how to instill passion in your team so all the politics and the selfishness goes away and they feel totally committed to executing that idea. So that's the first book. Mm-hmm. And the second book is called Unlock Your Sales Potential. It's all about the neuroscience of salespeople and how to change behaviors so they can become exceptional.
Okay, perfect. What motivated you to start this, doing this, by the way? How did you get into this?
It was just a passion. When I started my first company, I got stuck and somebody that, her name was Una Elliott, and she did something called neuro-linguistic programming. And she changed my life and really, really quickly, like whatever the block was went away. I didn't know how she did what she did, but I made a promise that day that I'm going to learn this. And years later, I became exceptionally gifted at this methodology of creating change. And so I gave up my high-tech career in Silicon Valley and started, instead of high-tech, started working with brain tech.
Well, thank you so much, Omar, for all your stories and telling us about what mindset is, how we can do this. I really appreciate you being here talking with me. And if anybody wants to reach you, if you can tell us how they can.
Sure. First put up the bat signal so we can see it in the sky. No. What you need to do is go to my website, NoLimits, that's with an S, selling.com. And we do a lot of stuff around sales, leadership, and also changing human behavior. And if you go there, you can hit the contact form and you can set an appointment with me. And the first consultation is always free. So if I can be of assistance, I will. And then, of course, you can call me at 410-949-7067. And thank you so much for a great interview.
Perfect. I loved having you here. Thank you. Well, wasn't that a beautiful discussion we had? Wasn't that very insightful? I personally have learned a lot of things, and I believe you too have learned something. And if you have any comments, anything you you'd like to say to me, you can write to me at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com or tweet at me at @howdo_you_see_it. We thank you, Omar Hamid, again, and thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for teaching us some very important lessons. And before we move on to the next section, I just want to point out a very interesting thing that I read on the book, on the mindset book that I've told you about earlier. It says the fixed mindset. So she was talking about stereotype, and she said the fixed mindset, in the fixed mindset, both positive and negative labels can mess your mind. When you're given a positive level, you're afraid of losing it. And when you are hit with a negative label, you are afraid of deserving it. So when you are given a positive label, you are afraid of losing it. And when you are hit with a negative label, you are afraid of deserving it. This is when you are in a fixed mindset. And she goes on saying, when people are in a growth mindset, the stereotype doesn't disturb their performance. The growth mindset takes the T's out of the stereotype and makes people better able to fight back. They don't believe in the permanent inferiority, and if they are behind, well, then they will work harder and try to catch up. So I think that's a very interesting topic to learn about and do some assessment of ourselves about ourselves and see how we are actually reacting to whatever situations that we are coming across, and maybe taking a pause and seeing if we are reacting because of our mindset or is it actually because of the situation that is happening towards us. So I'm just saying for you to just think about it. And it's a very vast topic and we might come back to it again, but this is what we have for today as far as the mindset go. And now, after a short music break, when we come back, we are going to talk about Easter. Yes, don't go anywhere.
Gabriel,
Oh, thank you so much for that. That was Tatisa Alamu, and the name of the song is Misha Misho. You've been listening to, and that was a song actually sang for an Easter day. And why I wanted to talk about Easter today is because we celebrated our Easter yesterday, Ethiopians. And you might wonder why we are celebrating it on a different date than the Westerns do. So I'm going to read you about an article that I read that was written by Desta Siyum, and it kind of explains why we're having a different date of Easter than the rest. So the main reason is because we use a different calendar called the Julian calendar, opposed from the Gregorian calendar, so that we have a different Easter date, we have a different Christmas date, but they might fall on the same date once in a while. So in Amharic language, Easter is called Fasica, and in liturgical term, it's referred to as Tinsai. And also members of the Catholic and Protestant churches, which are dominant in the southern part of Ethiopia, mark the day by attending church services. Followers carry candles to symbolize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Generally, church services are held in somber moods and are not as colorful as at other occasions. For members of Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Fasica marks the end of a 56-day period of Lent. On Saturday night, followers attend a church vigil that goes until 3 a.m. When they return home, they break their fasting from meat and dairy products. Easter is an important festival among all Ethiopian Christians, as the resurrection of Jesus is considered more significant than his birth. Easter is also a time for the families and friends to get together. Relatives travel from remote areas to join in festivities and express good wishes to their families. So that's kind of the basic idea of why we're celebrating Easter on a different date. Well, I had a very beautiful Easter date, and I hope the rest of Ethiopian people had a great Easter date as well. And I would like to hear about that as well. If you want to email me or tweet at me at howdo_see it, or email me at worldshowperspective@gmail.com. Well, that's it for today. That's all I have. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll be back next week with cultural computers. We're going to have a different topic next week, and we're going to have fun. We're actually going to be talking with Dr. Samantha. Hope you'll tune in, and have a wonderful rest of your evening.